WTIP recently completed a series about climate change and its impact on North Shore fisheries. Wanted to follow up on that, and today we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Seth Moore. He's the Director of Wildlife and Biology at the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Seth, thanks for stopping by talking some fish today.
Yeah, good to be here, Joe.
So, as I said, we recently completed this series, and it was in partnership with the DNR largely, but some other agencies here in Minnesota. And one thing that I wanted to talk with you about is this idea of subsistence fish species. And I know this is something that's a topic that you work with very closely in Grand Portage. And, you know, when I talk about the DNR stocking lakes and even with fisheries managers, either Steve Persons or Dean over in Finland, whoever it might be, Corey Goldsworthy down the shore, we're talking largely about recreational aspects of fishing and, you know, anglers and their pursuit of fish. But in Grand Portage, we're actually, you work and think largely in the context of subsistence fish and species in that context. Can you explain that a little bit for our listener? And then we've got some anecdotal topics that relate directly to this. But first, tell us a little bit about subsistence fish species.
Absolutely. So my job working for the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa is really to focus my energy and time and research on subsistence species used by the Grand Portage Band, with the goal of trying to manage these species such that they exist into perpetuity. And to do that, we actually use what's called seventh generation planning, using the idea that each person's life touches seven generations, from a great-grandparent to a great-grandchild. And we try to work in a manner such that people seven generations from now will be able to live as we do now, or historically as they were done seven generations ago. So my job working on subsistence species is to help to make sure that there are fish that can be hunted, fished, and gathered for subsistence purposes. And that's where I focus my research. So many of the species I work on are historic subsistence species used by the Grand Portage Band. I work on lake trout. I work on brook trout, walleye, Lake Cisco, sturgeon. These are all historic and native species.
All right. So let's talk then about, you know, part of what came up in our series that I explored, one on inland lakes, one on river streams, and then Lake Superior itself. You know, we heard a lot about trout. That's a species that seems to be at most risk when we're talking about climate change and warming temperature in the water. Seth, you've actually done some research and changed some of your stocking of lakes, of a lake in particular in Grand Portage. Tell me a little bit about this and where that fits into the context of subsistence fish species.
Sure. I'll actually start a little bit earlier than that. We were the second tribe in the United States to actually put together a climate change adaptation plan. And what the process was we identified what things in Grand Portage would be vulnerable to climate change. That's called a vulnerability assessment. And then we developed a strategic plan to adapt to climate change such that we can try to mitigate some of those vulnerabilities as climate change is occurring. And in that, we looked at fisheries very closely. And we're also one of the first tribes, or probably the first tribe in the nation, to actually deliberately change a fish assemblage because of the risk of climate change. So I'll sort of tell the story about that today. But essentially, we have a lake on the reservation called Trout Lake. Historically, it was a brook trout lake of native brook trout, and it was fished for subsistence and recreational purposes. When I got here in 2005, we had been observing that surface water temperatures in the lake were getting quite warm as a consequence of warm summers, and they were actually reaching the point that they exceeded the lethal thermal limit for brook trout, which is the point at which brook trout die because the water is too warm. So we did a lot of work looking at the population structure in the lake, looking at water temperatures, and actually modeling how much of the lake volume was exceeding this lethal limit for brook trout. And we came to the conclusion after several years of work that despite aggressive stocking efforts and, you know, trying to manage the fishery for brook trout, this was not going to succeed. So we had to do something about it. We have three fishable lakes on the reservation, and my job is to make sure that they maintain that status of being fishable. So I was left with some alternatives, which would be a lake with no fish or changing a management regime deliberately to be able to adapt to this impact of climate change. And so that's what we chose to do. We looked at the lake temperatures and the volumes and considered other native species that might be more suitable given the fact that the climate has been impacting this trout lake, or what was historically a trout lake. And so in 2004, we stocked yellow perch as a forage base for a larger predatory fish to eat. And then in 2006, we began stocking walleye in the lake. And both of those have become relatively successful. Yellow perch are self-sustaining now and a very active fishery for them. And the walleye population, we continue to stock supplementally till we can get sufficient numbers in there that they have sort of a critical spawning mass and can reproduce successfully.
Okay, wow. So you've essentially then taken the management of the lake from a managed trout lake and shifted it to perch and walleye. What's been the reaction from the Grand Portage community? Because, you know, brook trout are a coveted, treasured species here in northern Minnesota, and they're great for, you know, ice angling opportunities and so forth. But so what's been the reaction from the community?
Well, I think it's been relatively positive. It's certainly the most actively fished lake on the reservation. And, you know, given the alternative of not having a fishery in the lake at all, we did what we had to do. And to be honest, I really see this is going to be the direction that fisheries managers do in much broader regions like northern Minnesota and Ontario. As these smaller trout-specific lakes get too warm, they're going to be faced with a very difficult decision. You know, do we change this fish assemblage, or do we allow this lake to become fishless? And I have a feeling public pressure is going to push DNRs to adapt in the same way that we did.
Yeah, because it's expensive to stock yearling rainbow trout, you know, fingerling brook trout, brown trout, whatever the species may be, splake and so forth. So that if you're continuing to invest money and then the fish don't get, you know, for again, now talking more recreational aspect when we're talking about the DNR, if they're not surviving, they die in there. Nobody's winning on that front, certainly not the DNR or the anglers. So the idea that these might have to change is something that could be happening on a broader spectrum. And the fish then, the walleye and the perch are doing well in the lake. Is that accurate?
Yeah, they are. They're doing well. And we've actually projected forward, and it looks like under current warming scenarios, walleye and yellow perch will be viable for, you know, decades to come. And so that's the type of science I'd like to do, is figure out what the issues are and then systematically address them such that they'll work for a long time into the future. But, you know, your point on repeat stocking events not necessarily working well is valid. And that's exactly what agencies like mine are going to face, is if we stock fish in the summer at a large size, first of all, it's expensive to grow them to a large size. Then if they're going to die because of summer temperatures, it's really not that great of an idea to do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, interesting. I know in my conversations with the DNR that they definitely referenced the Grand Portage Band as being very much in front of the idea of climate change and planning, managing around that concept. And that was also something that came up, Seth, in our series that we recently completed. The idea of the political nature of climate change is not something that just even factors into wildlife management at this stage here in 2019.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, well, interesting. We'll see if the DNR follows suit with some of this, changing a trout lake to more of a warm water species that could sustain here in the future. Those would be changing it from brook trout to walleye and perch. We'll see if any of those lakes, maybe up the Gunflint Trail, some other areas change here in the coming decades. We've been speaking with Dr. Seth Moore. He's the Director of Wildlife and Biology for the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Seth, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Joe. Good to be here.